Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and effervescent Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie.
Why, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm just doing fabulously, especially because we are doing something really unique today that we're going to be doing all week long, which is that we're actually recording in a studio together.
Yeah.
Like a real deal grown-up podcast.
We're in Acast Studios today in New York City.
New York City. Look, if you're watching with Crappens on Demand, which you should be watching, patreon.com/watchforcrappens, you can actually see that they made us custom microphone box things, you know, which is really cool. And there's like a backdrop. It's just blue, but it's nice. And we've got like, there's fake plants. It's like the real deal.
More importantly, we're both wearing pants today. You got to leave the house. You put on some pants.
Yeah, exactly. Look, there's tchotchkes. We've got Danny Pellegrino's book, Giggly Squad. It's all very exciting. There's a Polaroid camera. It's like a very exciting time for us right now. Today we are recapping Real Housewives of Atlanta. Before we get into that, we are putting on a cabaret. That's why we are here in New York City right now, recording together. Our first show is Wednesday night. Our second and third shows are both on Friday night. Tickets are sold out, but you can stream the show. Go to watchforcrappens.com or use the link on our socials. And you can buy your streaming tickets right up to showtime, which is going to be 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Can the Friday people still buy their streaming tickets up till Friday? Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can buy all the tickets up until the showtime for that show.
Then after that, you can't buy those tickets. However, you can watch the replay for the following week. So we've been here rehearsing. We've been like doing real deal rehearsals. Like,
that's crazy. We're rehearsing at AMDA, which is from American, Fame.
Oh, is that? Are they from Fame?
I think
American
so,
Music
they?
And Dance Academy. I think is what.
Isn't
called.
That what Fame was based off of?
I've never seen Fame.
Oh my God.
I know,
like,
Dom
I'm
was
learning
in
so much about you.
Dom
this
was
week.
In the new Fame, and I still haven't seen
I'm learning
it.
So much about your gayhood this week.
Yeah.
So we're doing some stuff from Chorus Line. Ben, never seen a Chorus Line. What kind of gay is that? He was like, how do you do a kick line?
I can't
Babe,
do a kick line.
And I told him, I said, gay people learn this when we're children because we all watch Chorus Line and do the kick lines in our house. And he's like, but I didn't watch that. What did you do? You didn't watch Laverne and Shirley. That was
but we didn't have it on reception. Like, we had
that was local TV though. That wasn't cable.
No, I'm saying it was like on channel, the reruns were like on channel 9 and we didn't get channel 9 in. So I literally couldn't watch it.
So there was that, there was Chorus Line. What was the other gay thing that you had this week?
I have a lot of gay omissions.
Oh, this new one. What did you just tell me right now? You've never seen something. You just said it right now. I'm just
right now. I don't know what I just said.
You come on. We're talking about it right now. Did you hear
what Fame.
Fame. Fame, yeah.
Actually, that's a lie. I remember there was a Fame TV show,
yeah.
And I remember watching that when I was a kid and loving it.
Yeah.
But I never saw the original movie. I never saw the remake. Again, Dom is in it, and I still haven't seen it. But the kick, like, I always thought I could do a kick line, because, you know, you sort of, like, joke around doing them, but when you actually have to do it to music, it's so hard. And I was in my hotel room last night trying to do a kick line. There's, of course, no room. I'm just sitting there kicking a mattress because there's no room for my leg to go out. But, like, getting the knee to come up and then come down and the leg to come up and all doing that 1, 2, 3, 4, I couldn't do it. I don't know. Chorus Line is, like, a nightmare for me. I'm like...
Well, honestly, doing anything to music...
Honestly. So everyone, come to our cabaret. You're gonna see Does anyone want to see me like just kick in a sporadic pattern? You will see that. It's gonna be
one thing,
like,
I've asked myself multiple times over the past few days is why did we and it went pretty much like that. That was the questioning.
It's like Chorus Line. All my experiences with Chorus Line. So I watched it for the first time, the movie for the first time about a month ago in preparation for this, because we were going to be doing a big like Chorus Line situation. And so I watched the movie and I was like, I hated the movie. And now I'm traumatized.
Well, that's gay. That's gay. All the gays hated the movie.
Okay.
But straight people were like, I loved it. I mean, I loved it because I was a kid, you know, so I thought it was just
well,
so
was
cool.
Very
like,
of
people
then.
Were singing, you know, I loved it.
Yeah. So,
but
anyway,
yeah, gay people,
I'm like,
notoriously hate Chorus Line. If you ever want to, like, give someone a softie, like, when you're about to have sex with a gay guy, just be like, I love the Chorus Line movie.
I feel like I'm just incurring Chorus Line trauma every day. And I'm just, I don't think I'm going to be able to like get on board with Chorus Line. But that being said,
it's okay. It's over. It got canceled.
Actually, that's a lie. I'm sure I'm going to like, what's going to happen is next week I'll be like, Ronnie, oh my God, I can't stop singing Chorus Line. I mean, I know it's going to happen. I'm huffy at the moment. What can I say?
So anyway, we're doing that. And then last week was a holiday Monday. So we did not cover Atlanta or
Rhode Island.
So yeah. And those were actually two really good episodes. So let's just go through.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Atlanta.
We're both doing this to each other.
We're doing jazz hands to each other. Mine was just like a...
I'm like so. And I then you went like this. So. No, you went like this. You were like so.
Well, we are... Before we dive into this week's episode, let's do a high-level reminder of what happened last week. Actually, not a lot happened last week until we got
to the... I disagree.
What'd you say?
I disagree. I mean, so much happened last week.
Okay. Please.
Yeah, so much happened. First of all, Shami only has one male embryo. And I feel bad for the girl embryos. I hate when people say shit like that. I feel like I'm reading a book from, I don't know. I just read this whole Rome series, you know? For months I've been reading this thing. And, the obsession with having a boy, it just makes me crazy. It's like we're 2026. But we have to have a boy. No, you don't. What are you going to carry on the air conditioning legacy? It has to be a boy. A girl can run your air conditioning legacy. You don't need another penis in that house. I'm so fucking sick of people. You know, what about all those other embryos? Give them a chance. Maybe you have a little Chorus Line star in there and you're just flushing it down the toilet.
Embryo kick line.
What if the penis is going to be a serial killer? I'm just so sick of hearing it from people. Just fucking be lucky to have a baby. You know,
you're sitting here
crying over having a baby. Feel grateful that you have the money to do this and just have your fucking baby. I'm so sick of it.
I know. I think it's I'm kind of... I don't know. There's something about watching these people on TV who are just kind of trying to curate this perfect ratio of types of babies. I'm just have a baby. Just have a baby and however your baby turns out is how it turns out. You'll love them as much no matter what. And the fact that we have to sit there and sit front row and watch people decide well, yes, we have the kids, but we our plan was to have this number and this number and we're trying to have this and now we can't get that number. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a huge amount of
sympathy, passion, empathy, give a fuckingness.
I have sympathy. I have sympathy because I think if you're trying to start a family, that's a very serious thing, and you have hopes and dreams attached
to
it.
But they have a family started, these two.
I know. I feel like it's a little I don't know.
I feel it's ungrateful. And also, we're in 2026.
I think that if you have your eggs and you have embryos, I do understand the investment that you've sort of there's a literal part of yourself that's out there that you now want to see flourish. You've already attached stuff to it. I get it. But I don't know. I'm sort of sick of watching on any reality show. In vitro, fine. But what do you call it? When someone else carries the baby.
Oh, surrogacy. Surrogacy, which is what she's fine. Doing.
But it's we wanted to have three boys and three girls. I'm like, okay, do we have to I don't know. I'm over it.
Look, I think we're in 2026. You're going to have that baby, and God knows what it's going to be anyway, because you could have a baby born as a boy, and then a few years later, they're like, I was born in the wrong body. And that's a real thing that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So you can't even tell anymore. So what are you going to do? I think it's more important than worrying about the sex of your baby. Worry about if that baby's ugly. Can we get future scans? I mean, get the DNA.
I'd be like, which one of these embryos is hot?
Yes. Get the DNA of this baby, have a future scan made of this baby, and be like, I'm not going to have an ugly baby because that's going to be harder for the baby. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, having this boy-girl thing, I just can't with Shamia. Shamia is so annoying to me. So she has this. Also, blaming the surrogate. I didn't like that either. Her surrogate, one of her surrogates didn't carry to term, or, didn't, what do they call it? Didn't come... It didn't come to fruition. I'm so sorry. I'm a gay guy who's never done this. But yeah. But, it didn't take. The pregnancy didn't take. And so she fired the surrogate and got another. I'm like, what are you blaming her for? It's a natural thing. I don't know. The whole thing is really bothering me. And I have no stake in this game because I'm not having a baby, never gonna have a baby, never had a baby. So I get that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but watching it is annoying. And then Shamia's other thing was that she Gerald, who, shocker that Gerald is like this. I'm not shocked at all that Gerald is like this, because he has that attitude of like, go do your stupid woman show on TV. I'm not going to do that. But that he doesn't want her to be in her glamorous acting career, which, by the way, Shamia, you don't have, you're not Meryl Streep. Calm down.
I know.
But she's like, oh, I have to quit my acting career because Gerald doesn't want me kissing other men in my career, so I might have to quit acting. I'm like, were you in acting?
I know. I was about to say, who were you kissing?
You've been in acting for 5 minutes and I quit your acting already. So come on.
I know. Shamia really does. She keeps on, you know, talking about her singing and acting career. Well, acting is, I think, a better path for her than singing, because last season having to watch her try to be a pop star, and I'm like, I hate to be like this, but you're too old. Right? Like, unfortunately, that's the end. Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, the industry is, it's not me. Look, I'm a Carly Rae Jepsen fan, okay? She's 35, and they might as well treat her like she's Cloris Leachman, the ghost of. So, you know, unfortunately, that's like the record industry. That's not me, you know? And so Shamia trying to become like a pop star when she does, like, she just, it's like, I feel like it's too late for that.
I think the
right?
only person that would really agree Broadway, with that is Adele, who, like, retired when she was like, I'm 30, bye. Like, what else do you want me to write about? I'm rich, I'm fabulous, I'm thin. Like,
by
what
way,
do you want?
Do you know how much shit I'm about to get for saying, like, for dismissing Shamia's singing career while also saying I'm a Carly Rae Jepsen fan? It's not that I'm saying that I'm not saying that Shamia's untalented. I'm just saying the industry is harsh and cruel. And if you're, like, over 23, it's, I think, really hard to break through. And so Shamia trying to sort of have this, like, this breakthrough moment, I think, is going to be really, really hard for her, is what I'm saying. And so to have to watch her sort of do this, and then she's obviously dropped it this season, and now she's on to acting, which I think acting is the better path for her. But I agree with you. She's acting like she's
ridiculous.
Been in this, you know,
like,
she was in The Hours Part 2, and it's like, you're not.
The Hours.
You're in the minutes.
You're in the seconds.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, Portia and Sway went on a date. So we got our first Portia and Sway moment. Believable. I have to say, this was believable.
I like Sway a lot, actually.
I like Sway. This was believable, unlike Portia and Big Mike. Was it Mike that she's
Big
the
Mike
other
is
guy?
Like,
I can't with that guy. That's not believable at all. He's like, here's 100 roses. And
yeah, he's completely fake. He's like,
yeah, that guy's
it.
Full of shit.
But Sway,
but
I thought
Sway
was,
I liked.
I want to hang out with Sway. Sway seems like a very normal
I
want to
marry
person.
Sway.
I think Sway's the best.
That's like what I'm looking for. Why is it that gay guys can find the perfect chemistry with a gay woman? That doesn't make sense, right?
Because,
but that's like such a
because I think
such
that
a
lesbians,
masculine energy, like, I just love that. I love her. And
I kind of feel like in many ways lesbians are just more emotionally mature than us gay men. I don't know why it is. They just
well, the women,
like,
in general,
yeah,
hello.
they just have their shit together. Like, God, I love lesbians.
I do too, you know. And people always say, like, gay guys hate lesbians. That's not true. Lesbians hate gay guys.
And like,
and because, I don't blame them.
Yeah, I'm about to say, have you been around us?
Have you been around us? Yeah. But it is, like, really hard to work over a lesbian as a gay guy. You really have to work hard.
Oh, but when you do it, it's so great.
It is, yeah.
It's so great. When you get that breakthrough, it's best.
Yeah.
No, but I thought Sway was great. I like Sway. I also like Sway for Portia in a weird way. I think that, like Sway could be a good grounding force for her in a way that's not condescending, the way the men always are to Portia. You know?
Yeah. Okay, so there's that, and then what else? We got Kelly upset because her ex, she's like, I can't shoot with my children. I'm like, this, I mean, you're going through so much. I think it's just that she highlighted the, like, I can't shoot. She's like worrying about the casting more than her marriage. Did you get that impression at all?
Well,
that's
kind of
how I got it. I mean, I get that it's hard, and her ex-husband is an asshole and I think abusive and, like, horrible.
Yeah,
like,
he's terrible.
Has protests against her with signs that he has made.
Yeah.
Like, who does that? I've heard of some shitty men, but this man's the worst. So, like, I'm not even talking about it. We know that
I mean, look, just came off a whole season where Portia's whole thing was her arc was that she finally got to shoot the show in her house. So, like, it's very much, I think it's all tied into the ability to provide content for Bravo to stay on the show, which is, like, very meta.
Yeah,
but I agree. It's not a very compelling, you know, of all the issues that this man is causing for her, like, this is not the one that I care the most about.
I think if you're going to, I think she has so much, or she has so many, like, legit gripes about this divorce and how he's acting, that I think it was just jolting for her to be like, I can't shoot with my children. I was like, that's what you're worried?
Honestly,
you've got so much more to worry about than putting your kids on TV. I mean, I don't even know that they should be putting any of these kids on TV.
Honestly, on any of these shows. I'm like, okay with you not having your kids on, just because I, like, it's just not going to be, it would never have been compelling content for me. And quite frankly, last season when she did have an emphasis more on her children, Kelly was much more forgettable. I am not saying that she's great this season, but notice that she's much more in the mix. Last season, she's just a side character. And whenever we go to her, she was like doing homework with her kids. So, like, no offense, I don't really like kid content anyway on these shows. So, this guy's a dick, but I'm like, I'll take my blessings where I can get them.
And also, look how expensive it is when you film with your kids. I mean, last season she had that birthday party for her older kid, who still can film because she's older and she's from a different father. But right.
Yes, and she's also over 18, I think.
Yeah, so. But I mean, they're still expensive. I mean, you shot with her, and then you had to buy her a designer purse for every year that she was alive. I mean, fuck that, man. Get the kids out of there. Save yourself some money.
She also not allowed to film with her dog anymore? Because I swear, that dog is barely getting any screen time this season.
I'm hoping that dog just finally fucking refused and was like, I'm embarrassed. Like, you've embarrassed me. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the big thing for the episode was the sound bath party at Phaedra's. So, you know, in case you forgot, Phaedra's got a lot of jobs. She's a funeral mortician lady. She's a lawyer.
Fitness video impresario.
Donkey booty.
Donkey booty.
Probably criminal, if you've ever read Angela's book about her and Apollo's past, which I didn't read the book. I did.
Not
Angela Stanton. Yeah. Angela Stanton. Read a lot about that on Reddit. Thanks, Reddit. And then what else does she do? She does a lot of stuff.
She does something new.
Importing? What was she doing in Dubai? She went to Dubai to import.
She does something new every single season. And so her latest thing is that now she's a Reiki healer. So she had this sound bath in her home. And by the way, off topic but related, Aiden just turned 16 last week. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Crazy.
But weren't we there when he was born? I mean, not there, but like as an audience, as a podcaster, weren't we there when he was born?
I think we were there for Mr. President, the younger son.
She had already had a child when... No, she didn't. Is he lying about his age?
How about I look this up?
Because if we've been doing this almost 15... We're 14 and a half. But maybe we weren't recapping that back then. I don't know.
Well, the show started around 2009. So, okay. So Aiden was born in 2010 and Dylan was born in 2013. So Aiden was born already because the show started around 2009. She wasn't season two, was she? She was season three, I think.
She was season three.
Yeah. Candy was season two. So I think that, I think Aiden was just, I don't know. I don't think.
Because you know, when you come from Porsche, you can lie about your timeline.
No, their births, plural, were prominently featured on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Wait.
So I guess I just watched it and we didn't recap it. I don't know. But imagine telling someone they're not their age. Although that has happened to me. I thought I was a different age literally for years.
That's like our job.
Yeah. I thought I was a year older than I was for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah,
it was so weird. Who does that? Like, I can't do the math. I thought my dog was a different age. My dog is 15. I thought he was 14.
Wow. By the way, I stand corrected. Aiden was the baby that was born at like 5 months, right? Quote unquote 5 months. I thought that was Dylan. Okay. Either way, Phaedra's a Reiki healer now. She's having a sound bath. She invites everyone over.
And a flautist.
So, which I don't know if she was really a flautist. It looked more like a recorder.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it didn't really look like she was playing a melody. It was just more like she was making tones. It's sort of like, you know, standard, like, hey, what everyone does when they get a recorder for the first time, which they blow into it and then move their fingers. Yeah. And then it's like...
And just make their mothers crazy.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen in utero if you were going to be a terrible recorder player when they had you.
Poor recorder. What?
It's like the most disrespected.
It's like not even an orchestra, right?
No.
Is it? It's like not even part of the.
It's completely disrespected. It's you know, Phaedra didn't even buy that. One of the kids had it left over from school, and she's like, I'm a flautist now.
So anyway, so she has the sound bath, and she first of all, they all come dressed nicely, and they put these like big floating like recliners in the pool that they're all supposed to lie on and then like meditate with, which by the way, it was just if I were dressed so nicely, I would just never get on one of those things, because I feel like at one moment I'm tipping into that water. And Shamia's actually starts to sink, which was funny.
Yeah, but her float starts to kind of sink and lose air, and then she's still this episode like, did they do this on purpose to me? No, Shamia. Stop. Just stop trying so hard. You're so annoying. I can't with this.
Shamia constantly like inserting herself, like acting as if she's really annoyed while actively being the one who is reasserting the narrative that everyone's out to get her and that she caused this drama. Like, they keep saying that I caused this rift. I didn't cause this rift. It's like, stop saying it. Like, I don't think anyone in the audience is like, oh, wow. Look at this injustice.
She's really trying to make herself the storyline. So she was sinking. They all floated in this thing. Okay, the big part of this was they sit around and they have dinner. And Kay Michelle, God love Kay Michelle. I know she's very controversial. A lot of people have already turned on Kay Michelle. I think she is so fucking funny. She comes up with something new every week. I mean, this lady comes to work, you know? So first, she was mad because Portia said, did you have a miscarriage? Okay, mm-hmm. Which, tasteless, but she wasn't being mean, I don't think. But okay, you know, she had that.
Maybe then indelicate she gets upset. Would be the word to use. Maybe indelicate.
Yeah, tacky. So then she gets upset because Drew says, oh, so you know Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very upset. Very upset about it. So then she's been carrying that around. So now she's super mad. She's saying that plotting and scheming.
Don't forget the oysters.
Then she adds in Portia was making oyster / vagina jokes. And she's like, that's about me. And I know you guys are plotting and planning. Because I've heard you're going to bring up vagina rumors from 8 years ago. So, okay. So that was her latest thing. So then this week, she brings in, and I was talking to one of my exes, and it turns out he also dated Portia at one time, and she didn't tell me. I'm like, come on. Up. So that was last week. And then this week, she added something this week, too. What was it this week?
Well, we'll find out. But it's, yeah, I agree. Every week, there's a new thing. And there's also this thing where she was upset that Portia confronted Kelly because it gave Mean Girl energy. I mean, this is someone who's been so deeply traumatized, truly, from being on other reality shows that she's trying to preemptively get in front of every single thing that comes to her. And she's actually creating drama that's not there. And it's like, to me, it's like really funny. Every single week, there's something else where it's like, what is Kay Michelle thinking? But she's so funny. And her comebacks are so good. So she starts, after they meditate, they have Portia, they're going to clear the air. And so Kay Michelle is talking about her issues with Portia and how she feels. And somehow in this discussion, like Drew gets in it. She sort of gives, I forget exactly what she says. She sort of makes an offhanded remark about Drew that's kind of like dissing Drew, which is always so funny. Like, I always think when people do that to Drew, it's like one of my favorite things to watch on Atlanta. And so she does it. So then she and Drew start getting into it. And like, my favorite line of the entire thing, Drew's getting really upset. And she goes, I mean, who are you? Come in here. You know my whole resume. And she goes, you don't have one. It was easy. Oh, my God. I rewound that 5 times. Just how quick it was. You don't have one. It was easy. Oh, it was great.
So then it turns into Kelly, who Kelly's like, I'm so depressed. I don't even want to go to this party. I'm not going to speak to anyone. I'm not going to put on any makeup. I'm just going to sit there. I'm very upset. She comes out, right, you know, as fast as she can to get Portia and starts, her and Portia start squabbling and getting into it. And, you know, they're both ho-shaming each other for sleeping with married men. I don't care if you sleep with married men. I blame the married man. Okay?
100%.
Fuck your married men. And then Kelly's like, Portia has slept with every Nigerian in Atlanta. So then they fight about that. And it was pretty good. Portia starts yelling that she is not going to say who the man Kelly slept with. But he is a pastor, and he is a client at Phaedra's. And then we learned today that he is Nigerian. So I feel like we're getting little clues.
It's in a video game when you're trying to figure out a puzzle, and then every now and then the video game is like, why don't you try looking on the left side? You're like, oh, thanks, video game. It's like, we're getting like little
clues. An NPC, Shamia, is like, maybe you look on the left side. Did they deflate this raft on purpose just to get at me? I hope my baby will be a male.
By the way, while this whole fight was going on, like Pinky and Phaedra in the corner being like, oh, this food's really delicious. Yeah, this is great. What I was going to say about this, I don't remember what I was going to say, but what was very funny to me was, you know, Kelly starts acting up and she starts, you know, she starts going at Portia. And like the moment Kelly picks up like a wine glass and she just sort of puts it forward, like maybe like starts moving it towards Portia's face, it was like the moment she did that, out of nowhere, like three security people come. I was like, they are trained, they know,
they're ready. They're like what?
They immediately were like, oh yeah, we're not waiting for this, we are anticipating. So yeah, that was, I kind of thought honestly last week's episode was a little dull until it got to that sound bath, and then the sound bath just like, I mean, I'm just like cracking up. I thought it was so good. I mean, I feel like that's kind of been not the general story of the season, but I feel like every episode this season has either been like really, really good, or it's been a little slow, but then has ended on like a really high note. And so like, I think this has been like a really like probably their strongest season in years.
Yeah, I think it's been really strong too. And I think they're all super enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. The cast chemistry is really, really fun. Like I'm really enjoying, like Shamia is like very annoying to me this season, and I liked her a lot last season. She's very annoying to me this season, but I love her role in this. I like that there's an annoying person who's like, what about me? Ugh, you know, like you need to have these people.
I'm enjoying her more on the show because now she's pissed that everybody doesn't like her.
Yeah.
And I think that really worked. That kind of energy really works for her. Yeah. I didn't like it when they were all acting like, oh, Shamia is the new lead of Atlanta, and they're, you know, and she was walking around like, I'm the star of Atlanta now. It's me, Shamia. I've been working at this for years, and finally I'm the star. And I was like, shut up. But now that she's like on the outs, and she's like, why does everybody not like me?
Yeah,
I love it. I think it's such a funny energy.
Yeah, I think the energy is really super strong right now, and I think, I like when people annoy me on shows, it doesn't mean that I necessarily don't like them for the show. It just means that they're annoying me. But like, you need to have people that annoy you.
Yeah, of course. You know, you can't play whack-a-mole without moles popping up.
That's a great point.
We pick up where we left off. Kelly is yelling and, you know, screaming at Portia. They're yelling at each other, and she's being pulled into the house. And Shamia and Pinky are trying to talk her down. You know, so we split into the teams where Shamia, Kay, and Pinky are one team and everybody else is the other team. And Portia's in the house screaming at the top of the steps.
Everybody knows that man knows who you had sex with. And yes, he was married. And you were lying on me last year, so I licked your ass back. And you made it. You're mad about it.
Okay, but Portia, to be fair, we all saw your relationship with Simon. You went to that man's house when he was married to that girl, Phelan. Which I still love. Fallon. But I love it. It's kind of Phelan. She one sees her named Phelan. So with Phelan, we saw you take that man. We saw it. They say you can't steal a man. Yes, you can. See some of these schlubby men walking around and they get any other option. It's like, you can't steal a man. Okay, well, you can't put a man on a bus. Sure, but the bus stops and the man's like, I need to get somewhere. I'm getting on the bus.
I'm shocked they really have not had Phelan back. Because, like, this is such a thing. And, like, I feel like my lasting memory of Phelan is her. I think she was dressed as Medusa in the Halloween. And she came, like, running out with a golf club and chasing someone. And, like, that's all I think about is, like, she had, like, scales
Kenya,
on.
Right? Was it Kenya that she was fighting?
Probably.
Kenya was Native American, so they had to cut it all out.
I'm about to say, we'll never see the episode again because Kenya made a national controversy, deservedly so. But, like, that's all I think of this poor girl who went on TV, dressed up like Medusa, chased someone around with a golf club, and then lost her husband.
You know what I remember the
most? Oh, I think she was also doing something on the side, right?
You know what I remember the most about Phelan was after the show. So she gets this thing, this big thing with Simon where she's like, Simon's a piece of crap or whatever. And then Simon came out with his own videos. He's like, she was cheating on me with a pool boy. And then Phelan had like one of those sit down interviews on YouTube with somebody they made like a huge set, like an all white set with these curtains. And it's like this very glamorous interview for Phelan to like come out about banging the pool boy or something. Yeah. I was like, this is so good. How did they not continue that?
Yeah, you just especially because it's just, you would think with Portia there, I'm surprised they haven't had like a sit down to be like the jilted exes of Simon, and we come together and we realize that like we shouldn't be at each other's throats. But I'm sure Portia just is like, nope.
Well, I think even as jilted exes, you're going to both be at each other's throat because no one's dating Simon because he's like hot and charming, you know. They're dating Simon because he's rich as fuck, so you're gonna be fighting over the spoils.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. So Portia is, you know, she's going off, and Kelly's like, I've been played with enough, play with someone else, because when they go low, I go to the depths of hell. And Shamia's like, yeah, you went to hell, baby, you went to hell. She's like, I don't have time. So now Portia's out front now, and she's like, you know, when she's popping off for a while, and I, you know, when I'm talking to Kay and I'm yelling in my ear and I'm like picking her glass in my face just like too much. And Angela's like, I mean, every night you're in Atlanta, I mean, she must have gotten that from somewhere. Where is that from?
Oh, they've been saying that to each other for years. Remember that used to be, wasn't that a Portia versus Phaedra thing when they were accusing each other of, or no, it was Kenya. Kenya and Portia were like shaming each other for dating Africans.
There was always like this, like there's always like nameless like African
rich
men.
African men. Yes, they're all like dating these like billionaire African men.
Yeah.
So Angela, she got it from watching the show, and Portia's like, well, that Nigerian she just fucked once she got off that plane, that was a married man, and she's mad. And Angela's like, oh, pastor. Who are these pastors? They get away with a lot in Atlanta. I feel like the pastors.
Of course. Yeah.
They get away with a lot everywhere.
I'm about
honestly
to say,
but on pastors, this show, seriously, the pastors on this show, I feel like have Lamborghinis and mansions. And
I mean, never forget Prophet Locke.
Exact Lot.
Lot.
Right?
Prophet Lot.
Yeah.
Prophet Lot.
Oh, I'll never forget Prophet
Lot.
He was
the one of the greatest late season plot twists. I mean, that was such the. Like at the second to last episode, and they turned everything into like, what about this unseen person who has not been part of the show the entire time? Prophet Lot. So Kelly is like, I don't want to tell you all what I went through this week. You think I'm going to give you my pain for you bitches to laugh at? Absolutely not. Guess what you're not going to do? Well, I'm going to do. I'm going to chest up, bitch, nipples out, and get the fuck out of here. Okay, Kelly's saying she doesn't want to tell us about what she went through this last week. It's a lie, because all you do is tell us. What you do is you sit at a table somewhere with like a Diet Coke and mournfully talk about the latest thing that happened to you. You're like, I didn't get my library card. It's like, you know, you're going to tell us about it anyway. So don't act like you're not going to, you're going to withhold anything.
And she wasn't laughing at your pain of your divorce. She was just accusing you of sleeping with a married man. So stop using your pain for profit.
Also, you jumped in. Kelly is the one who jumped into this whole conversation anyway.
Although Portia did start it with her, because they were going to start. Remember, they were going to start all peaceful. That typical housewife scene where like, let's have tea at this really weird tea place and then we'll be peaceful. Right. But you did sleep with the married preacher. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So Portia started it. But also Portia handles it better. And she also ends it better. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, chest up, bitch, nipples out, and get the fuck out of here. And Shamia goes, you got good nipples.
So
yeah, your nipples are great.
So then outside, Portia's
one thing nobody has ever said to me.
Meanwhile, outside, Angela's like, so are we not going to eat? So they're like, yeah, let's go back to the table because we still want to eat food. So they're going to head back.
The only housewives they actually eat on.
I know. Because by the end of this entire scene, it winds up being, I think, Angela, Portia, and Phaedra just sitting at that table. They're still like, we're going to eat. Because they're like, oh, no, the chef's going to make to-go plates. Like, no, we're going to eat right now.
And so, Kelly left. Like, you're the poor one. Like, Kelly and Pinky are leaving. You guys are the poor ones. You need to stay and get the food. Get the food.
Pinky was like, damn, when she leaves, she's like, I didn't even get to eat anything. I was like, this is happens to you every episode. There's either Truly. Food that you can't eat or you just don't get to eat. Like, this woman's never going to be able to have anything to snack on.
Yeah.
So Phaedra's like, the devil has entered the details. And I do mean Satan, honey, because I've got two groups of women who can't be in the same room at this point. This went from meditative to mayhem.
And Kelly's saying, I don't want the old me to come out, so I'm leaving. I'm 5 feet tall, but I will 6 foot seven a bitch.
Okay. All right.
Kelly's got a lot of them in rapid fire, but they're all just kind of like going down. You know, it's like a rapid fire gun that just like the missiles are just like.
Yeah.
But I did love when she starts getting into it with Portia again and they're going in each other's face and Kelly is just like, down here waving her finger up. She's like, hey, go here. It's like the old man on the lawn shouting to the skies.
Right.
You know,
these damn kids.
So Angela, Drew, and Portia sit back down. So Drew is part of this table thing. And Drew is like, you know, I try to be supportive to Kay and get to know her, but she just has it out for me. It's just like a lot of energy coming from her. And Angela's like, well, Kay said that she had a tough time having female friends, so I made it my business to try to get to know her. And we see that Angela and Kay Michelle went to like lunch or dinner earlier. And basically, Angela was like, "Don't worry, you'll get through this."
Here's the problem, though. We've seen now multiple instances of people going to lunch with Kay Michelle and trying to like be nice with Kay Michelle, and Kay Michelle is always so reserved, like,
"Thank you so much. What is a great talk? I'm just glad to be here."
You need to speak with the other Kay Michelle. So it needs to be like one of those Lifetime movies where somebody has like multiple personalities and then they have tricks to get the others out. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Because you're not talking to the one that has the problem. Like, you're the talking Exorcist. To like the calm one.
It's like The Exorcist.
Yeah. You just have you to, need like, to get the pea soup out.
Yeah. Like, don't talk to the little girl.
Yeah. Start reading prayers or something. Like, do your version of The Exorcist, you know?
The where power of Andy Cohen compels you.
Yeah. Whatever it is, you need to talk to that one. You guys are negotiating with the wrong terrorist.
I know. So now, Phaedra is, I mean, Pinky's like, wow, she said, we need another sound bath at this point, you know? And Kay Michelle's like, yeah, no one wants to disrespect your house. And I tried, you know, she's like, yeah, well, it got a little spicy with Drew though. She's like, yeah, because you know, she's just yapping like a gnat, you know, as gnats do, they yap. She's like, just swapping that.
This is my favorite part. She goes, I mean, to watch a funny face girl, you know what I call her?
Her face.
Which is such a good description of Drew. She's always like, what? Me? What do you mean?
You haven't gotten any award for anything, okay? What has it done? Just wind up with a man in the basement with no shirt and taco hairs.
I love that the editor stood up for Ralph and showed a screenshot of Ralph with his blazer and no shirt on, and it said, no taco hairs.
So at the very least, he is waxed.
Yeah.
But
And then she says, you should change your face.
I mean, Kay Michelle does great, great interviews. I mean, like, she is
so funny. I call her
Huh
Face.
Huh Face.
Huh?
So, anyway, Kay Michelle leaves, and Pinky leaves with her, and you know, et cetera. So, and Pinky's saying how Drew really inserted herself, like while Kay Michelle was trying to share what she had to say, and Pinky's like, I didn't get to have my entree.
And Phaedra's been doing this a long time. She knows to have the chef bring to go boxes for people, and she just packs everybody's food up to go. So
yeah.
It's like, I know half of these people are going to leave after a fight during this, so let's make sure they get fed.
Yeah. She's doing like Yankee Doodle Dandy. Portia is like,
yeah, you know, okay, Michelle, she liked me. I've got a good heart, but she feels like she has to fight with me for whatever reason. I just don't even know why.
Probably because whoever told her the conspiracy, do you think it was a producer? Or a messy glam squad person? Or do you think it was a cast member?
I don't even know. I mean, it was in the blogs that day, wasn't it? Weren't people seeing... Didn't they say, like, let's go check Twitter? What were they even talking about? I guess she said she was pissed off on Twitter. I don't think it was in the blogs that day. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if it was Drew, who was like, well, you know that this girl had this gossip going on about her 8 years. But the thing is, for you to be the one to bring it on camera is just so stupid. Like, why would you do that? Make yourself the victim when someone else does it. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's like that Tom Cruise movie where they can tell the future and they know who's going to commit a crime. And
Cocktail.
So they go. What is it?
Where Minority they know, Report.
Was that what it was? They can see, it's like the future police, and they can see who's going to commit the crime, so they're arresting people before they murdered someone. They're like, but I didn't do it. And he's like, but you will do it. And then he runs like this.
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, they didn't do anything. You can't arrest them.
You have to maybe move screens out of your way like this. And Samantha Morton's got to be in a fetal position somewhere.
Yeah, it's not fair to arrest people like that.
That's not fair. Okay, I used to, for years and years on this show, whenever something like this would happen, like someone told me, but they don't ever say it. They don't say their name. In my mind, I'm always like, it was a producer. It was always, like, it's always a producer who got into someone's ear and said, by the way, you should do this because you should be aware of this because this is what's coming down the pike. I used to always believe it was producers who were up to like funny business. But honestly, I've really shifted away from that. And I've really shifted into just messy glam squad team members. I think the glam squad people are always at fault now, and you just have to wait like 20 minutes until we get to Drew wrangling her messy team together. And what seemed to me
I was gonna say that's a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I was like, right. And what felt very much like a sizzle reel for a spinoff, which honestly I would not be mad at. I would watch that
100%.
I would watch Drew's messy ass team.
Me
like,
too.
The idea that an entire team of people to hoist up Drew Sidora, you know, like again, you know,
who just said it, or who we just found out in divorce filings is making $12,000 a month, and she's got all these people supposedly that she's paying.
Please. Michelle again later on calling Drew Tubi to Sidora.
Said, I don't watch Tubi. I don't got Tubi.
Okay. That was a great scene. That was the best scene, I think, of this episode, was that assistant scene. So, you know, they're talking like, why is this? And then Angela's the one. Cynthia's not here right now, so Angela's the one who was given this line. This group is fractured. Bad. I was like, so that's kind of Cynthia's thing to say, which I'm sure she'll say later. Yeah. This group is fractured. Bad. I see both sides, and I just want to side with who's right.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Phaedra comes back, and she's like, okay, well, you know, we talked. She apologized. She said, Phaedra, I was not getting rowdy. You know, I don't know how it got to that point. And Portia's like,
but every time Kelly was butting in, you know, K. Michelle would just be like,
giving the supportive looks.
And they show that she does do that. So Portia's like,
okay, so, like, is this, like, a double, you know? Like, because if you're wanting to be mature, then, like, why haven't you said that to me? Like, you've not called my phone. You've not done anything. And this is not the place for you to do that at a sound bath.
I'm like, well, this actually could be, like, you know, I mean, she's right. K. Michelle should call Portia if they're really friends and be like, why the fuck are you, like, plotting and scheming against me? Although, if you find out that someone's plotting and scheming against you, you might be like, whoa, they're plotting and scheming against me. Like you would, maybe you're not mood. You know, I'm not even going to justify trying to understand the inner workings of Kate Michelle's like conspiracy theories.
Yeah, because I mean, even the whole way to go about it, like doing it at a dinner where you're like, you're all plotting and scheming. It's like, what? what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Take the crazy lady away. So, in the car with the other ladies, Kate Michelle's like, I'm trying to talk to you like a woman. And I'm not wrong in that. You got to make me be crazy. Y'all got to make me try and make me look crazy. That's your own plotting and scheming against yourself.
You know, the other thing is with Portia, you know, I don't know how any of these people are really. But I never got the sense that Portia was a plotter and schemer. I feel like Portia, anything that she is planning is only purely to raise her, to focus on herself. Like, I need to show people like a fun side, so I'm gonna force feed America, you know, endless scenes of Dennis, me and Dennis.
Yeah.
But, like, I never feel like she's trying to take other people down. I feel like she's just manufacturing scenes to build an image for herself. I just don't see her as like Kenya.
So you don't see her like a Kenya who's like, let's go to the cookie ladies store.
Yeah, like
Well, I mean, Portia did have the thing with Phaedra, which got them both kind of canceled at that time, which was the candy allegations.
That's true. She did. She was an accessory.
If you believe Portia, that was just Phaedra and she fell for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, I just don't see. I can see Portia saying something like, you know, that's bullshit. If, like, she needs to be sharing more on screen. If she doesn't share more, we're going to make her share more. But, like, I don't see her being like, oh, we're going to take her down and we're going to destroy her. Like, I just don't think that's like, I don't get the sense that that's really her nature. I think that she really is mainly focused on herself. And she's just, I think Portia's too self involved to be conspiratorial about taking other people down.
Yeah, she's not thinking about anybody else. I think she's shocked when she's even in scenes with other people. She's like, what are you doing on my show? Like, she's, I didn't, like, cast you here.
Isn't this still Portia getting married?
Yeah, exactly. Or the one with Simon. That was the best one. I mean, that show is truly great. If you haven't watched that yet.
I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it.
That's one that you definitely need to watch on, like, just a weekend where you're sitting around, like you have the flu or something. You're, yeah, like, there's nothing. You never, yeah, watch it. It is, she is unhinged on that show.
So, okay, so after all this happens, we
doesn't
now...
this feel weird being in a studio?
I like it.
I do too.
I like
it's
it.
Just, I think also because we're together, you know, we're not,
know,
used to being together.
I know, it's fun. Well, it feels like we're at, like, a slumber party.
How are you doing over there? You okay?
Our producer.
Do you watch any of the Housewives shows?
No.
No? You poor thing. God bless you. Having to sit here.
Doesn't this make you want to watch?
Yeah, she's going on leave after this.
Yeah, seriously.
Hazard
Don't worry,
baby.
We only have 6 more hours.
we'll only be here till tomorrow.
So now we go to Shamia's parents' house, and which is nice. Her mom's, like, making grits and everything, and it's, it feels very sitcom-y over there. Like, you know, it's like, oh, come on in, Shamia. So she comes in. And now Shamia.
Can I say this family does not want to hear you. This family is so sick of your bullshit. And they're only listening to you because you're rich as hell and you're paying for them all to live. Because this family, when she is going on and on about her friends, every face was like, really? I have to hear more of your bullshit? Okay.
So Shamia starts talking about going to the sound bath. She starts talking about how she starts sinking in the pool and everything. And she's like, well, if that's not a sign, I don't know what it is. And I was looking around and I was like, did you do it? Did you do it? Did somebody do this to me? I was like, I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, this group is divided and stemming from Dallas. And I don't want that, but, like, that's where we are in the division. They're trying to say it's me. I'm like, literally no one said it's you. You called a house meeting because you were suspicious that they would say it was you, so you called a house meeting to get in front of it, and everyone sat there and was like, what's going on? Like, who said this? Shamia, what's the issue? You're the one that's saying it, and you've got the look
and
on your,
like,
face.
She's like, there is plotting and scheming, and they're like, wait, but that's what she said. That's Kay Michelle's line, plotting and scheming. So we're plotting and scheming again. I love her confusing Portia. I mean, they did kind of ask her because Kay Michelle said, so last night I heard somebody was plotting and scheming, and they're like, well, but you were just with Shamia and Kelly last night, so who told you? And she's like, oh, and now you're blaming me? I will put on a bikini and confront all of you.
I know. And the way she's telling the story to her family would probably think, like, oh my God, Shamia, she's like the villain of the season. Wow, that's kind of high profile. Because she's like, they're blaming it on me. And I just can't believe this season has come down to a she versus she disagreement. And I'm one of the she's. Can you believe it? I'm basically the linchpin of this entire thing. And they're like, wow, what's going on? So
can I have another $100? My rent is late. Did the automatic transfer not go through?
So she's going through this whole thing and she's saying, like, and you know what? Angela's definitely trying me. I'm like, Angela basically looked at you and said, why do you have that face on? Like, that's, you know, like, that's what that came from. So, anyway.
Well, she's saying, the Angela said, you know, you're telling Kay Michelle something to where she's not liking us. I like how vague she is with all of this stuff to her family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shamia's like, you know, I don't know why I'm being blamed for this. I don't have any clue. Maybe I'm delusional. Maybe I need to sing that song, Delusional. Girl, just, at least that's one that people remember. That's a good song, actually.
Delusional. Delulu. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Shamia's mom is like, at the end of the day, you could take care for daycare. You got people that want to make you negative. Shamia, you know, they're jealous. Someone's like, they're jealous. She's like, let them have their garbage thoughts to themselves and take it and run with it. And when you get that garbage thought, you put it in your purse, you turn it into a rainbow, and you ask that horse when it's going to run around the block. I was like, are you just saying words? What the fuck kind of motherly advice is she even giving at this point? She's just making things up. That mom is just like, I'm tired, Shamia. I've already stole Portia's mother's daycare. What more do you want from me? Okay, I'm doing my job. Oh, yeah,
the daycare fight, which based on the midseason trailer, looks like it's going to be
thank
coming
you.
Back.
And I would like to thank, you know, I'm one of those people I think maybe it's mental illness. Mm. Were you? Oh, I thought she was waving at us. There's someone out there. She's hanging something. Is she hanging? I want to know what it is. Looks like a Christmas.
That was very
ornament.
Shamia of you. Can you believe it? And I was at ACAST and people just started waving at me left and right. It's like she's I can't have any peace.
Charging something on a shelf. Weird. Anyway, yeah. So I feel like I have mental illness where, you know, crazy people on TV see the news and they think it's about them. They're like, oh, they're watching me. I feel like that with Housewives, where I'm like, I requested this. Because I remember when that mother daycare storyline was out, I was like, forget Shamia. I need this mother storyline out here stat. Because I was reading all about it on Reddit. And here it is. It's like when we went on Watch What Happens, and I was like, Sheree needs to be back. And she was back the next season. You know what? God is listening.
God provides.
God, I love you.
God really, really provides.
I need to really start focusing on more positive things, mm-hmm. probably.
I don't know if I've used The Secret very effectively, because the last time I checked, Real Girlfriends of Paris is still not on the air.
That's true.
So, anyway, they talk about surrogacy, and now, like, Shamia's crying because she can't have, like, another boy.
Don't care.
I mean, like, I understand some of it. Like, you know, I think she just is... It's challenging, but, like... I already said this during Beverly Hills, which is that I'm kind of over watching fertility journeys in general. And again, I don't know if that might be just like some obnoxious male bias or whatever. And I know this is like a real journey that people go on, so it's very relatable to many. But it's kind of like always the same thing on Bravo. It's always the same thing. And I feel like for a lot of times, we see a lot of women on the network sort of like putting their bodies at risk just for men. I'm not saying that that's what's happening with Shamia here, but I'm now just going on a tangent. So,
well, it's not that she doesn't want a kid, you know. So she's saying she needs to give Gerald a son.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is not Renaissance times, whatever. So Shamia gets up thinking about how Shiloh, you know, she's talking about Shiloh and her illnesses and stuff like that, which I'm not going to fuck with, obviously. So then we go back to everybody just doing stuff, and Portia and Dennis taking Pilar to school. Presumably, it says in our notes. No, that's Drew's kids, where you're like, presumably.
Yeah.
So Angela's looking at spiders in her new house. You know, we're just doing stuff like that. So restaurant, Drew and her manager. Drew's late, as always. Mm-hmm. And she's like, wow, you've got 15 people waiting and you're still late. Ma'am.
Yeah. Then we go over to Phaedra's house and Kelly comes over. The butler greets her. And Phaedra's like, wow, so your boobs. You know, Kelly's boobs are like a sweet chariot. They hang low. Because apparently she does not like bras. I did not realize that.
Yeah, she's like, I hate wearing bras.
So she's asking how things are, and Kelly's like, well, I truly want to apologize for my behavior at the event. I would never want to come into your home and disrupt anything. It's like, you would never want to, and yet that's literally what you did, and you didn't have to.
You do that often, so I don't need the apology. He knows this housewives. Phaedra knows. She had the to-gos. Mm-hmm. She knows. So she's like, you know, when in regards to Portia, I definitely take ownership of things that I've said about her, but, you know, I've had enough of her putting her finger in my face. And then they cut to them wagging, you know, this is the giant waving up to the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk. How dare you terrorize my neighborhood? No one stole your golden goose. Go back to your house.
And so, yeah, Kelly's like saying that, you know, she's like, yeah, Portia has to take ownership. And then she's like, you know, this is the same person who married a man in their divorce documents. Well, and so Phaedra's like, well, I don't know what's in those divorce documents. Well, I'm telling you, I've seen them online, and I'm not interested in being friends with Portia when she thinks it's convenient for her. I am a friend 365, not 265. And we have a flashback to, when Portia said to Needy that this is a 265-day-a-year situation. I've forgotten about that.
So she doesn't know she's ever going to be good. And Phaedra's like, I may need to bring out my flute again. So then she's like, come on, just make up with the girls. And Kelly's like, you know, now I can't shoot with my children. And they're like, am I just not good enough to be on this show? Is that what it is? Yes, do the children need extreme talent to be on this show? If you watch this show, some of these children are like pencil erasers. It requires nothing. You just have to sit there.
So then Phaedra's like, by the way, I heard you gave a special shout-out to somebody. Somebody named Jarvis. Was he named after the port in Pennsylvania? She's like, yes, Port Jarvis. You know, he's been a really, really good man. And she's like, oh, is this a prospect? Yes, he's a good prospect. He's wonderful. But then she says, well, I don't want to announce... Well, Phaedra says that she doesn't want to... That Kelly doesn't want to announce Jarvis to the group because she's very nervous about what the group will do. And she understands that. But, like, Kelly, on the one hand, is like, I can't believe my husband will let me shoot. I have my children on screen. But then when it comes to like, her man, she's like, oh, no, I'm not putting him on.
Yeah.
I will let my children face national ridicule, but not the guy I'm interested in.
Yeah, she's like, he's going to earn it. He's going to buy me a whole new set of teeth first. And then we'll see.
Until my children start buying me veneers, they do not get any protection.
Exactly. So then we go to someone who does let their kids, or whose kids are allowed to shoot, Pinky's daughter, doing a cute little photo shoot.
Yeah, Pinky's daughter is amazing. What we also did not get to recap last week was the daughter making her a really big star-making moment, which is her walking into the room and... Was she singing the alphabet? Was she going? She goes A B C.
Yes, that was so cute. They're like, and now here she is.
Oh my god! I was like, give her a show.
You know, like her little princess outfit. They're like, here she comes. There she is. Go ahead, honey. It's like
A B C D E F T J L L A B C D.
That was so adorable. And you know, I say that as someone who really does not like children. So she's doing a photo shoot because they're going to have Pinky's daughter is going to be like representing a brand or a fashion label or something like that. So Angela comes in the Milano de Rouge, which is the brand.
Is that a cookie?
You know, I don't know. But you know what, though? Can I say something? Delta Airlines now carries Milano's as a snack.
Oh,
how about that?
Look, you just worked so hard to get your diamond status.
Yeah.
With that airline, and you got rewarded.
But, like, this is for everyone. It's not, like, you don't have to be at a status.
You. It's for you.
It's a diamond status, Milano. Yeah. No, it's, you know, but the thing is, they did, as a result, they had these really good shortbread cookies that had, like, a big chunk of fudge right in the middle.
Oh, I didn't like that. I don't like that.
Oh, I like those quite a bit. But those are gone, which makes me sad. But the Milanos are there now, and I'm like...
When did they get rid of the Stroopies? Who had those?
Those were United.
Oh, that was United.
And I got to give a shout out. I got to give a shout out to... Oh, wait. I'm going to say their name wrong, so I'm not going to give their shout out until I get their name right, but I'll look it up because they sent me Stroop waffles, but I'll get to the bottom of it.
Does United still have those?
I haven't flown United.
I'm wondering how much United got sued from just ruining people's teeth, because those are the worst things for your teeth.
No.
Like, my teeth would literally hurt out, and I would still eat them every time. Oh. But I was like, is this pulling out my teeth?
Oh, my God. Actually, so United famously stopped carrying the Stroop waffles, and they replaced it with some sort of like maple cookie, and everyone got mad because everyone loved the Stroop waffles. And I don't know if they ever went back to the Stroop waffles, but like the Stroop waffles on United, like that would be almost enough for me to change all of my loyalty to United.
Yeah.
But the fact that they got rid of them, I was like never going back. I don't know why like the Stroop waffle company did not go, like Dalman's was the brand. I don't know why they did not go to another airline, because like the Stroop waffles, and I'll tell you one thing, like I'm over the Biscoffs. Like Biscoffs are nice, but like
I don't like the Biscoffs either. I don't.
It's
think
basically like
good.
A thick graham cracker.
I just don't understand why it's so difficult to make a casual cookie. Why? Yeah,
it's
like,
actually
why
not
they good. They're also dry and shitty.
They're fine.
No Biscoffs.
But what I don't like is this. It's like, and as a snack, we have a cookie available. So when someone says cookie, I'm thinking something a little decadent. Maybe there's a chocolate chip in there, or maybe it's a whatever. But like if it's a Biscoff, to me a Biscoff is like not even like a cookie. It's a biscuit or a, it's just like a its own entity. But I feel misled, quite frankly, whenever they say there's a cookie available and it's only a Biscoff. And I'm sick of it.
Yeah. It feels like a dog cookie.
Yeah.
But sweeter.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, let's see.
This Stroop waffle company.
So they're doing a photo shoot. It's cute. I don't care. So then
Dutch waffle
Cynthia
company.
Comes and Angela comes. And they're talking about this party again. And Angela's like, oh, it was bad, Cynthia. There were already issues walking into the room. And then Kay had an issue with Portia and Drew. And Cynthia's like, this group is fragmented. Well, I already said that this episode. Said they, okay, cut that.
Okay.
This group is like a bunch of kids on a school bus. You just want to pull that bus over, child. Okay, that was better. Keep that
Okay. By the way, I do want to also mention that, so Angela brought her daughter, and so then her daughter started doing poses. And I'll tell you, the real star, I mean, as much as I love Pinky's daughter, Angela's daughter striking those poses, they only showed it for like 1 second, and if you missed it, you missed it. But I could have just sat there and watched 20 minutes of Angela's daughter doing those poses, because she was living out every gay boy's like adolescence that moment. She was like, like a hand behind the head, hand out. She's like, Every pose looked like she was auditioning to be in Punky Brewster. Oh. It was great.
So Pinky updates them on what K. Michelle's problem is. She's like, look, Portia, the first time K. Michelle met Portia, she was accusing somebody of, you know, fucking some married guy. And then she brings up the, you know, she just goes through it. She brings up the, was it a miscarriage and all of that stuff. So she feels like Portia gives a mean girl energy. Okay, you know, that's not a terrible take, but K. Michelle's also the one who's like, you're ugly. Your career sucks. You don't have anything. So yeah, it's not like K. Michelle's the nicest person. You know, that's what cracks me up. She's always acting like, I cannot stand women tearing each other down. These ugly hookers calling each other thing when they don't even have money or a job. They're ugly and they should get a new face. I'm sick of mean people. You are one of them.
Yeah.
You are one of them.
She really is. She's like, I don't like this mean girl energy. Meanwhile, I'm not going to allow any woman to work in my husband's dental practice because I don't trust women. It's like, well, that's mean girl energy right there. Mm. So anyway, yes. So Angela's like, you know, and then, you know, that apparently they share an ex-boyfriend of sorts. And Cynthia's like, what? What damn ex-boyfriend? Like, what are you talking about? And then
the ex-boyfriends in this group.
They're so
fractured.
And then Angela's saying, yeah, and then Kelly said that Portia fucked every Nigerian in Atlanta. So Cynthia's like, oh, gosh, I felt like a calling from God that I came early. And then I was removed from that space because when the shit hits the fan, the Lord says, oh, not today, Satan. Not these cheekbones, honey. Because Cynthia's like, thank God I got out of that sound bath before all this happened.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout. It's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Kay Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo,
Karen McMurdo.
Let's Get Savage with Laura Wildman.
In the Study with a Candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're Ride or Die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a Whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger That, it's Marlis Rogers.
The Incredible Edible Matthew Sisters.
She Eases Our Woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the Lady of the House, it's Rachel Shouse.
There's a Chance of Meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's Our Princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the Queen Bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We Cannot Tell a Lie, it's Sarah Telef Sun.
Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Please Don't Stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a Pose, it's Tori Rose.
She Ain't No Shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.